This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
So welcome to the Capricorn FM Women's Month podcast series. These are conversations that are an extension of conversations we would otherwise have on air, but would be limited in our time in exploring some of the conversations. So what Capricorn FM has done is, for this Women's Month, they've given the women presenters of Capricorn FM the liberty to decide on topics and conversations that they would love to have. These are conversations that may be close to their hearts, conversations that they may be curious about, just to bring them, you know, closer to our listeners and anyone that taps into this podcast. So if you follow any of the Women FM, of the Capricorn FM women presenters, you would be able to, through these podcasts, have a better understanding of, you know, what they're really all about, or have just a little glimpse about some of the things that interest them. So for this conversation, my name is Mpho Mashita, and you're going to be having this conversation. I've decided to call it femininity. It is that deep. And the idea comes from, you know, young people when you would have a conversation with them, and they would say to you, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. And I'm just saying that it is that deep. So what that means is, we're going to be just unpacking and unpeeling some of the issues that have to do with femininity. And I have joined an amazing lady, very smart, very deep, very spiritual, to come and have this conversation with us. She's a healer. She's an astrologer. Her name is Indi. Hi, welcome. How are you doing, Indi?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for agreeing to have the conversation with us. You know, we are carrying on with the conversation. We've literally just laid down the foundation with another lady earlier on, in Thabi Sengwajana. She's a spiritual medium. And she was speaking to us from an African perspective. So as we get into our conversation, I just want to understand from your take, right, when you think of spiritual, of feminine energy, you know, what do you define that as?
Okay, so first things first, I think it's important to note that when we're discussing feminine or masculine energy, right, we're not talking about genders. We're not talking about male or female, or women and men. Mm-hmm. Masculine and feminine energies are principles, dualities that life is built upon.
Yeah.
So an example of this would be night and day, you know, the sun and the moon, inhalation being feminine, exhalation being masculine, yin and yang, right? The right hemisphere of your brain being more feminine, the left hemisphere of your brain being masculine, your nervous system being electrical, being masculine, your cardiac system being magnetic, being feminine. So all of these dualities speak to the different energies feminine and masculine offer. And feminine being more passive, receptive, imaginative, creative, internal, soft and flexible, right? Masculine being more active, directive, reasoning and logical, external and hard and rigid. So we all have these characteristics within us, because we all carry both polarities inside of us.
Nice. You know, I think I had really thought about it on a very basic kind of level. I mean, I was just looking at the female anatomy and look at the male anatomy, and would say, and the female is a receiver and the male is a giver, you know. But I love how you've just really expanded it. I mean, when you talk about in the human anatomy in its all, you would look at the nervous system as more masculine, and you are saying the feminine, the cardiac.
Yeah, the cardiac system is magnetic, making it more feminine in nature.
Oh, all right. So, I mean, so when it comes to our existence in our daily life, how can we tell that we are operating in the feminine energy or in the masculine energy on a day-to-day?
So, you know, you're leaning more into your feminine energy when it's easy for you to fall into your intuition, right? And let your instincts guide you. Whereas when you're in your masculine energy, you have a more logical, things must make sense approach to life. And the other thing, the other thing about feminine energy is that just being, is validating enough, while masculine energy must achieve things in order to feel validated within itself. So if you also find yourself being more passive in life than assertive, then you most probably operate from your feminine energy most. Whereas if you have really solid boundaries, are protective or defensive over yourself or your space or anything in general, then you might be operating from your masculine side more.
Yeah. You know, it just from hearing what you were saying, to me, it sounds like we aspire, and I don't know, we aspire to really operate from the masculine energy, and I'll tell you why. Because we are all go-getters, you know, we are going out there, we are doing all these things, and
definitely,
I don't know if that is how these things have been set up, and it looks like it's not an aspiration really to just be, you know, to just tap into your feminine. It looks like, from where I'm sitting, that the aspirational thing to do is to be seen as a go-getter, someone who's going out there, who's doing things, who's making things happen.
100%. And that's why I personally feel like the masculine energy is the most dominating form of energy in our current society, right?
Yeah.
And it's due to, like, the patriarchal system we've been under for so long. We've been so far removed from feminine energy. When you look at the world today, everybody, like you said, needs to lean into their masculine energy in order to survive.
Hmm.
It's in the way a scientist, a banker, an accountant, or an engineer will be given more praise, more social acknowledgement of being a serious adult compared to somebody that's like an artist, somebody that's more into the feminine side.
Okay, I lost you there a little bit, Indy. You were saying that it looks like we would be more praising someone who's like the lawyer, the accountant, the engineer, as opposed to
like a visual artist or a poet or a dancer, somebody that's into more creative things that require them to be in tune with their feminine energy.
Yeah. Now, so, I mean, you've just mentioned that when you're looking at the world right now, it looks like the masculine energy is the one that is more dominant. But if you are wanting to lean more into your feminine energy, where would you even start? And also, what would the benefit be?
Okay, so we also need to understand that feminine energy is a place of abundance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can never heal in a space of lack of control and restriction. So even when you look at the mantra of the root chakra, which is the foundation of all life, it says, I want, I need, I desire, I shall receive, which is also reflected in the saying, ask and you shall receive. So life does not deny itself. And when we're going into connecting to our feminine energy, we must also realize that feminine energy does not deny or restrict itself. So when wanting to heal and lean into this part of yourself, you need to question where you are still denying yourself from experiencing life and where you're still in resistance to things when it comes to the abundance around you. Like, is your life too rigid? Are you too structured? Are you too practical? Where can you still insert room for flow, for creativity, for intuition? Another thing you can do to lean into your feminine energy is, like, be in nature, be in Mother Nature, because that's the greatest form of feminine energy that we have. Ground yourself in the earth. Take time to be away from, like, your computer screens, from work, and be more involved in, like, the simple pleasures of life. Be into dancing, because rhythmic dancing is also something that helps bring out the flow within you and increases your feminine energy.
All right. Now, I wanted to look at relationships and being aligned, right? There are some men who don't step fully into their masculinity. And you find that women are forced to lean into their masculinity in order to bring that balance, or in order to provide what the man is lacking in, or what the man is not bringing to the table in terms of masculinity. So mm-hmm. how can people strike that balance? You know, now we're talking mjolo, when you're in a relationship, because you find that it's, in different people, they are, maybe I'm dominating more, I'm more masculine, even though I'm gender-wise, I'm a female, but you find that I'm more masculine. Mm-hmm. And then I'm dating a guy who is the femininity that is more dominant in his personality. So in terms of just trying to understand and being aligned and not finding ourselves fighting over things, because it becomes an issue. You know, if you hear women talking, yeah, no, this guy, I don't believe this. You know, I'm the one who has to step up. I'm the one who does this, this, and this, and he doesn't. And I do this, I do this, I do this. And you see that mm-hmm. masculine energy at play. You know, so how can people be aware of the kind of relationships that they're in, and they see the dynamics that are in those relationships energy-wise, and manage those energies?
Well, this all goes back to also the type of programming you have as a person, the type of life experiences that you've had as a person that condition you to act a certain way. Because you'll find that women that are mostly masculine in nature have a suppressed feminine side due to like life being one that was very hard, didn't give them space to be soft and gentle. And they usually attract men that have that softness to them because it's very familiar to their inner child, to their basic conditioning when it comes to life. So communication, number one, is so important. Like if you feel like you always have to be the active one, if you always have to be the one that's out there doing things, why not talk to your partner about it? Because that could also open space for you two to heal. Because mostly men that are more feminine in their nature have like a weakened or underdeveloped masculine side due to also experiences that's step them away from their own power. Mm-hmm. So going into a conversation where it's not about blame, but understanding sort of like your own history, your own background, and mm-hmm. understanding how that's now showing up in your relationship is a great way to start. Mm-hmm. And also, because I'm a very practical person in nature, I believe that you two doing things together that can help balance out those two energies within yourselves can be very helpful. And one of the ways you can do that is through meditative practices together. My favorite one being alternate nostril breathing.
What?
Can I elaborate on
Please
that?
Please do.
So basically, your left nostril, right, is linked to this channel of energy in your body that's called the Ida. And the Ida is the feminine principle. And then your right nostril is linked to your Pingala, which is a channel of energy that's linked to your masculine energy. So you could be a man and your Ida is more pronounced, meaning that your feminine energy is more dominant within you. Mm-hmm. Or you can be a woman and your Pingala is more pronounced, meaning that your masculine energy is more dominant yeah. within you. So when you go into this alternate breathing technique or practice, you're switching the way in which you breathe together. You're having a breathing meditation. And the more that you develop consistency within this, the more that you can clear out blockages within you regarding these two different energies. And then you can find balance as within, so without.
Mm-hmm. You know, it gets a bit sensitive, a bit tricky, because I would imagine that feminine and masculine energy cannot only be ascribed to heterosexuality. Now, could these energies manifest in the broad spectrum of the LGBTQI community, even amongst those who don't conform to gender stereotypes?
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, these principles are not limited to gender, and they're not limited to your sexual expression as well, which is why when you go into the LGBTQ, you can find gay men that are more femme or some that are more mask, or you can get like lesbians that are more femme, some that are more mask. It just depends on how those energies are interplaying with themselves within a person.
Yeah. And then, I mean, as much as you're saying that there isn't a matter of gender conformity or anything like that, but if we're looking at aligning on a sexual level, Let's talk about the tantra practice. You know, just break it down to us. I know that you talk about that a bit, but for someone who I know you love it. If for someone who might not know what tantra is, just let us know what that is.
Okay, so tantra. Let's start by what the word actually means. Tantra is Sanskrit for woven together. So it's basically the whole purpose of the practice is weaving together or uniting the masculine and feminine forces within us. Mm-hmm. And tantra doesn't have to be a thing that you do in a heterosexual relationship because remember, everybody has masculine and feminine energy within them. So it's just about merging both of y'all's masculine and feminine energy together. So it's based on the understanding that sexual energy, which is creative energy, which is then feminine energy, is potent enough to manifest anything. So you approach tantric sex or a tantric meditation with your partner holding an intention behind your sexual energy. So if a woman and a man, or if masculine and feminine principles coming together can create life, can create a baby, can create this whole planet we're on, then it's powerful enough to create anything. So if you're trying to heal within your relationship, for example, you tell your partner, I want us to set this type of intention behind our sex today. I want to balance out my feminine energy, or I want to focus on healing this energy center within myself. And I want us to hold ABC type of intentions, and I want us to say the following affirmations to each other, because there is power in the spoken word. That's the other thing about tantra. It's about using your breath, using your words, using your intentions in order to manifest things together.
So wait, back up. So when there is intention behind it and you have two parties coming together and agreeing, so are you talking about affirmations during the sexual act or affirmations during the climax, the orgasm? These are like spoken words. You know, that's going to be difficult. Some people moan. Some people do certain things. So you have to
That's why it's a meditative practice, because you have to be in a state of like focus even though you're within the sexual act itself. So you do say affirmations within the sexual experience.
Okay.
So for example, you could have like a guy stroking inside of you, and with each stroke, right, you're taking time to breathe in deeply, right?
Mm-hmm.
Breathing in deeply, holding that intention, and then with every time that he strokes out, you exhale with that and you say the words. Because it's all about being connected to your body, being connected to your spirit, being connected to your mind in the moment completely. So, of course, tantra also calls for intimacy. It's not about rushing the whole experience. It's not about wanting to just reach a climax. That's not even the point of tantric sex, for you to orgasm at all, because tantra doesn't even have to be penetrative sex. It could just be you masturbating by yourself, or you just playing with your own sexual energy by yourself, whether through visualization or whatever it is that works for you. So, yeah, the point isn't even to orgasm. It's being in the moment, experiencing that sexual energy and what it's capable of doing within you physically.
Okay, so you can self-pleasure and even get into a point where you are tapping into this energy and, using that to manifest on your own.
Yes.
All right.
Should I elaborate on that?
Sorry?
Should I elaborate on that?
Oh, yeah, please do.
So the whole thing about self-pleasure and it being powerful enough to do things for you is also built upon the understanding that you have an inner masculine and an inner feminine principle within you. So if you can have basically an intention behind you self-pleasuring, and it's like you reaching an orgasm has a point, has an intention behind that, you can transmute that sexual energy into being something that's more creative within your life, where if you feel sexually aroused, instead of going to a partner, going to find somebody that you can like release that energy with, you can just say, I want to manifest a business idea, or I want to do ABC with my life. Let me use this energy to feel that instead. So then that's how self-pleasuring can be something that's really beneficial for you as a creative, as anybody really.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, as we just wrap up, I mean, I would like you to leave us as women with, you know, just key ideas of why you think it's important for us to have an awareness of feminine energy and to also, you know, start empowering ourselves about how to tap into that for everyday life.
Okay. Sure. This might be a long answer, so you have to bear with me, right?
Okay.
It's important, firstly, to have balance between these two energies, because if one is more dominating than the other one, then you will experience friction or stress or disharmony with regards to the aspects of life that that polarity is responsible for. So, for example, if you grew up in an environment where crying was something that was forbidden and you were punished for showing emotion, now growing up, the masculine side of you that is impenetrable, that is hard, that is tough, is strong. But the side of you that's supposed to process emotions, feel, forgive, or give nurturance is suppressed. So, of course, this will affect your relationships, your intimacy, how deeply you bond with people, and how deeply you heal yourself. So in some instances, a situation like this can actually lead to heart issues or high blood pressure, where you suppressing emotions now affects you physically. So I'll say all of this, right, to say that anything that is energetic, such as masculine and feminine, affects your emotional well-being, affects your physical well-being, affects your mental well-being, your spiritual well-being, because everything is connected. And the other thing is that it's important to tap into your femininity as a woman, because that's the energy that's most natural for us. It's the easiest form of energy for us to connect with. Mm-hmm. And the thing about feminine energy is that it's so vast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for so long, we've been fed the stereotype of what even the word femininity means, that we have to be submissive, that we have to be all about pink and makeup and the lip gloss and the flowers and the children and building homes and all of that stuff. But femininity is power. It's potential. It's the source where all things come from. Hence, it is everything. So you returning to your femininity as a woman is about you returning to the infinite potential of yourself and the abundance that you carry. Whether your femininity is about you being a warrior, like the ancient goddesses we see, like your Kalis or your Sekhmets, or your femininity is about being a caregiver and a mother like Oshun or Isis, or your femininity revolves around sex like Aphrodite, it's all about you giving yourself the freedom to explore all these different facets to yourself and then heal the blockages preventing you from embodying them. So,
I love that. I mean, you know, as we wrap up, I think whenever I think of feminine energy, I think of creative power. I think of, you know, if you are a believer of the Bible, in the beginning when God said, "Let there be," and that was creative, that was creative power. I also think about it as resurrection power, you know, the power that rose Christ from the dead, that power that just came and, you know, gave life to a body. And I think we have the creative power as women. We have the resurrection power. No matter how much we have fallen, no matter how much things have fallen apart, we can still resurrect ourselves, and we can still rebuild, and we can still give life to ourselves. So thank you so much for sharing these amazing truths. And I hope that women will be able to lean into their feminine power, and they'll be able to tap into it without being fearful. Because sometimes, you know, when you get into this kind of depth of conversation, people get scared and they think, oh my God, oh my goodness, what's going on? The tree huggers are here.
That's so true.
The conspiracy theorists are here. You know, what's going on? So it's just people exposing themselves to an element of truth that is also out there for them to tap into. So thank you so much for being generous to share your knowledge, your wisdom, and your time with us. That was healer and astrologer Indi. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an amazing conversation, and I'm so honored, so honored to be in this space with you and everybody else that will be listening.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.